Body, what's up? It's 9:14. I'm sorry. I know we're supposed to be here at 9. I don't think I even posted when we were supposed to be here because that's how unorganized I am tonight. But we're gonna talk MILF Manor and Love in Paradise. So hopefully you guys got to watch that last night. Hey everybody. Kara and I are gonna be discussing. Dee Dee is still out of town. Can't wait to have her back. And there's a little breaking news that came out today that I need to discuss with Kara before we even get started, because Kara is our resident CSI. So Kara,
How are
I
you?
want to talk to you because something came out today, right? And I remember, do you remember I posted and I posted a post about Kalani and it said that she was pregnant. She immediately fired back at all these posts and said that there was no baby. She was never pregnant. That was all BS. And now today we meet her and Dallas's baby. So, Kara, I want to get your opinion on this because how did you feel about it? Because remember when I posted it and everybody was like, "Oh no, she's not really pregnant. The picture looks Photoshop, all this stuff." How did you feel? Because I should have came to my resident CSI first, right?
It's funny because we all had speculations, but you called it, and you called it during Last Resort. So
Right.
you saw it way ahead of me and Dee Dee, but we agreed. But you were on it.
Did I win? I
You
never
win.
win. You and
You
Dee Dee
win. No,
always beat me to the
this
punch
is
for
all
everything.
you. You got this one.
See, I knew, and when she fired back, she was like, "No, this is a rumor. It's not true." I did issue an apology because I was like, "You know what? I'm gonna go ahead and say, I misspoke." But I didn't believe that I misspoke. I really believed that she was pregnant. I saw the picture and there was just something about it. And I was just like, I'm pretty sure she's pregnant. And I was like, I can't prove anything. I'm Ashley. I'm not a witch. I can't prove it, right? But I was just like, I'm pretty sure she's pregnant. So I just wanted to bring that up. Congratulations though to Kalani and Dallas. A lot of people were congratulating on her on how she was able to keep it a secret, but she didn't keep it a secret from me. Right? She didn't keep it a secret from me. I knew what was going on. And I know when I posted it, it irritated her. And I think it irritated her because she was doing a hell of a good job of hiding that from us. So I knew it. I knew it. See, I'm so glad that I stuck with it. I was just like, no, I'm not going to delete the post. I'm going to leave it up. I'm going to leave it up. I want to leave it out there for the world to speculate. And they had a beautiful little girl. Good for them though, right? Like there's nothing wrong with wanting to keep it a secret because the pregnancy is very sacred, and the public doesn't know how to be happy for people. So I totally understand why she wanted to have her pregnancy for just her and her boyfriend. I get it. But when I have my resident CSI, it's really hard for them to
I
keep
know
things
we're gonna have
here.
to start calling you GSI.
Right? I'm happy because usually I'm the last one to figure things out, right? Like
Good.
everybody's already at the party before I get the text. Usually I'm the last one, but I'm glad that we figured out. Okay, so MILF Manor came on and there was some drama because there's been one cast member, right? That I've said this before, Miles. Every time they show Miles, I was like, oh, I forgot Miles was there because it always seemed like he wasn't really trying to interact with anybody. And I didn't know if he was shy. I didn't know if maybe the women were just too old for him. Like, I didn't really know what the situation was, but he didn't get a text. So we were in the sexting episode, which the cutest thing happened because I have to remember these are older women. Kelly Mack didn't know what a sext was. And that was the cutest thing ever because I love meeting people that the internet and the world hasn't corrupted, right? Remember when we had innocent people walking the
I mean,
earth, right? We,
he's a little corrupted. Come
oh
on.
yes, she's definitely corrupted, but not by the internet, right? She has not been corrupted by the internet. So she didn't even know what a sext was. She didn't know how to sext. I thought that was the cutest thing in the world because the internet has ruined it all
But I call
and
bullshit.
everyone's sext. Wait, what? What?
I call bullshit. She knew what it was.
Oh, you think that she's just trying to get a little more airtime?
The angles that she had, the pictures she took, there's no way. You, No way. A newbie can't take shots like that.
The people on Twitter / X were saying that someone with that good of a boob job has to know what a sext is. That's what everybody kept saying. They were like, a 59-year-old woman with boobs like that knows what kind of sext, right? And I kind of agree. Like, you don't put that much money into something to not send it in a text message, right? Like, I feel like that's her best asset. I mean, she's probably very intelligent. I don't want to sound like an idiot. She's very intelligent, probably, but that's her asset. Like, you walk in the room, that's the first thing I'm gonna notice.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that she might have wanted to sound a little more innocent on the show than she really is, which is fine. You know, she has kids. You don't want, you know, to go out there and just say everything in front of everybody, right? Like, you have to be a little respectful. You know, the boys already had to do a strip tease with their dad. You know, you gotta shelter
these
things.
You can't say that. You have to retract that statement.
Why not?
Because you're saying you can't have kids. You gotta reel it in if you've got kids. She's on a show called MILF Manor.
Yeah.
All that's out the window.
Is a MILF, which is okay. Yeah. Like, I think that there are mothers who are so beautiful. Like, I think that we have to disassociate the word mother from, like, sexy, because they disassociate. Like, you can't be sexy. You can't be this if you're a mom. And I think that it's okay to be a sexy mom. It's okay to be in touch with your intimacy. But sometimes, like, honestly, like, for real, my mom, she's super religious, so she would never. So, like, in my mind, I'm like, if my mom would have went on the show, that would have been a lot for me. Right.
But also, I'm not saying you can't be a sexy mom, a beautiful mom. I'm not saying you can't be a MILF. What I'm saying is, if your mom is 60 years old, 59, going on a show and actively interested in someone that's 20, 21, 22 years old, whatever she does, you don't want to watch anyway.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right. You're right. I think that being on the show in general, like, for me, it would be a lot, because my mom, she's like the most religious person that I know, right? Like, honestly, the only thing that inconsistency in her life, in my mother's life, is the church. Like, I wouldn't even know how to accept that side of her, because I've just never seen it. You know, like, I know it exists. I exist.
Right.
So that side of her has to exist, but I've just never seen it. And I don't know how I would deal with, you know, the world seeing it with me, right? Like, I don't know if I'll be okay.
I get that. I don't know.
So
this show's got me. I feel so bad for Miles. I feel like Miles has been, he was outgoing, he was flirtatious, he was all the things in the beginning. And then when his dad showed up, his estranged father, it became more about him trying to build a relationship with him, and he was so sidetracked with that, he didn't give two shits what the women were doing or anything. That really took him off guard. So I really feel bad for him.
What's up, Jamal? Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right, because when Miles entered the house, he was way more engaged with the task at hand, you know, talking to these women and building a connection. And then, but I think the awkwardness of him seeing, because he said he hadn't seen his dad in 3 years. And I think that situation overpowered what was going on, because I think that he really did want to fix things. Because if we remember, Miles was like, I've tried to reach out to my dad and I got no response. I got no reciprocation. He just cut me off. And I think that when his dad showed up after 3 years of radio silence, literally no communication, the situation of him being on the show was kind of secondary to what he was kind of thrown into that situation. Can you imagine, like, I have estranged family members. If I signed up for, like, a show or something, and then an estranged family member shows up, that would be really traumatic for me.
Me
you
too.
Know, because, right? Like, I wouldn't know what to do, because first of all, my first thought would be I would want to fight them, right? Like, that would be my first thought. Like, I'll be like, oh my God, they're here. I'm going to punch them, right? Yeah. But you can't do that. You're going to get arrested. You know, especially not on TV. There's all the evidence they need, right? So I don't know how I would react. I think that it would derail whatever I was trying to accomplish in that moment. And I think that's what happened with him. Because at first I was like, what's his deal? Like, does he not like women? Is he like got a girlfriend at home? Like, I was trying to figure out what his deal was. And you're right. When his dad showed up, all shit broke loose. All hell went crazy. And he just didn't know how to deal with, because at the end, because he did get sent home and he was like, well, I didn't have to find love. I found you.
Yeah.
You know, I found that void. And I thought that was sweet. You know, we're watching these shows. Hey, the Diva Speaks. We're watching these shows and we never see wholesome stuff anymore. So when I saw a man reconnect with his son, I was like, well, look at that. TLC's putting in a little wholesome positivity into the show. Good for them. We're not used to that. Oh, I want to derail something for one possible minute. Alec Baldwin and Hilaria have a show coming to TLC. So I want to talk about that real quick, because this is off the wall for me, right? Like, Alec Baldwin has all this drama going on with this rustic movie set and this horrific situation where this woman lost her life. And what really got me was when they posted the promotion for it, they turned the comments off, which really caught my attention, because I was like, you must anticipate some sort of backlash, because when you're promoting a show, you want people to be excited. You want the conversation to begin and have people talking about it. The first promotion for the show, they turned off the comments. So what do you think that means?
It's the only reason this show's coming out is because he's set for trial 35 days from today. So he's trying to get everyone to see him more normalized, more humanized.
Oh, more, like, as a family man.
Yeah, instead of just being a cold-hearted killer, which a lot of people see him as, mm-hmm. because the way he's acted and reacted and all of that. I feel like they're just doing this so people can see him that he's a dad and he's a husband and he's a family man. He's not just a Hollywood guy, blah, blah, blah. I think he's just trying to normalize himself to get the heat off of him, in my opinion.
Interesting. I don't think...
Abso-freaking-lutely.
I don't think you're wrong, because the first thing that I thought, this is going to sound mean, but I was like, if the show is going to TLC, that means that Bravo, VH1, MTV, everybody passed. Yep. Right?
On Netflix.
Either. Right. And I'm not being shady. I love TLC, but this is not the correct platform. So that means that other people were brought this project and they didn't want it.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, TLC, this is just not what they do. They don't really do that. They tried it. You remember the Copo sisters? They yep. tried it with the Copo sisters. It did horribly because yep. they were like a new version of the Kardashians. Yeah. And they actually Smothered that year so they could air it right at the beginning of the year, because that's kind of what the hot spot was. And then the show aired for, I think, 10 episodes. It went away. No speak of it again. Whoever the executive is that signed off for it probably got fired. Right? Like, nobody. This is not the platform. So when I saw that, I was like, that means that the other networks anticipated the backlash and they wanted nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so.
Okay. Let's get back on track, though. But when I had to talk about it with that.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what? Alec Baldwin and Hilaria and his 7 kids. Also, he got a lot of little babies for his age.
Yep.
No, I'm not age shaming anybody. I think it's totally whatever. But if that's crazy, there were just a lot of little yeah. ones. Because I was like, I get, like, you have a baby later in life, but like 5 of them.
Yeah, they're 10 years old to 10 months old.
That's wild. And actually, I think Robert De Niro has an infant too right now.
Yeah, and he's like 8 something.
This is crazy. Okay, back to MILF Manor. We're getting sidetracked. So Miles, Jacob, Ashley, and Chris's dad, for the life of me, I can't remember his name right now. It's not Stacy, because that is Miles's dad. But they were all sent home, which was not shocking for me. Like, I think that the Jacob situation was shocking. Were you shocked that Jacob didn't get a sext? Because he was building that relationship with Barbie, but he kind of turned into a big baby when yeah. Barbie kissed him on the beach, and then she went in the hot tub with Chris, and then Joey kind of got a little messy and started, you know, instigating the whole thing. How do you feel about the way Barbie reacted? Because Barbie was just like, get the hell out of my face with that. Y'all figure it out. Do you feel like that was the right thing to do? Because I felt like she wasn't doing anything wrong. Yeah. She's there to build a connection with someone. And yeah. you don't know any of these people. They're all strangers.
Yeah.
So is there anything wrong with her getting to know more than one person at a time?
not at all. What are we on, like, day four?
Well, right.
You've got six, like, a handful of women with triple the amount of guys, essentially, and you're already, these kids are already trying to lock it down, like, because she talked to you. She said, let's kiss it out. She gave you a peck. It's not like she made out with you. It's not like she groped you. It's not like she put a ring on it. She wasn't yours. So your dumbass just took it that way. Like, that's on you. But Joey was out of line to even butt in. Like, he
even being mouth shut. Because did you see what he was also doing? Because he was in the hot tub with Kelly.
Yep.
And he was also in, who was that? Not Jamie. He was also talking to another girl same night.
Yep.
So he's a hypocrite,
yep.
Right? Because he was in the hot tub with Kelly, sticking his tongue down her throat, and then he was also spending time with another girl. And it kind of pissed me off.
He was with Christina.
Christina, thank you. It pissed me off a little bit because he kind of made it into a double standard because he was just like, well, I'm a guy, so I can kiss as many girls as I want, but you're a girl. You're not allowed to do that. And it kind of pissed me off. She can kiss anybody she wants to kiss. Yeah. Right? And let's be real. Like you said, she pecked him. That's the peck I got from my mom when I got out of the car for school. Yeah. Like, that dude, I think that the age gap between the people on the show is starting to show because the younger guys, they're a little more sensitive. They're like getting butthurt over when the woman shows interest in another, you know, in another guy. Like, y'all don't know each other. This is not a 3-year relationship. Y'all all arrived on the same day.
Yeah.
Okay? You are all strangers. You know, she might, you know, in high school, I remember I liked one girl one week. I liked another girl the next week. The girl I liked didn't like me anymore the next week. You know, so I don't know why the younger kids act like, you know, oh, we like each other. Let's get married. You know, like, where did that come from? This is a game show, you know?
Absolutely.
So there's going to be two new girls coming in the house, which I don't know how this is working because they got rid of three guys and instead of bringing more, because they already brought two guys, but now they're bringing more girls. Like, I don't understand it. Because technically, right? I mean, it's throwing it off. It's throwing everything for a loop. I totally get it. Because if the numbers aren't even, that means that somebody is always going to be left out.
Yep.
And I think maybe that's the point, because the person who's left out needs to go home.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of how they did it with the sexting. If you didn't get a sext, you had to go home. And I was like, well, it makes sense. If you're not building a connection with someone, you're just kind of hanging out and eating the craft service, right? Yeah, like, you're absolutely. You're just taking up space. Like, you need to be interacting. And, you know, I think Miles probably would have did a better job if his dad didn't sideswipe him and show up. I think that he was ready, you know, to be a part of it. And then his dad showed up and kind of ruined it for him, which I feel like his dad ruined his childhood, and now his dad ruined his chance on Milf Manor. You know, like, he keeps
coming in. He seems like a conceited ass, to be honest.
Well, I want to talk about Stacy, because Stacy was saying how he doesn't want to get married again. He's like, oh, I was married for 14 years, and it took a lot out of me. But if we listen properly to Miles's story, he said that his dad is a hoe.
Yep.
And he cheated on his mom.
Yep.
He's probably cheated on everybody else. And I was like, so how was marriage hard for you if you were banging everybody except your wife?
Yep.
That sounds like a walk in the park to me, right? Like, monogamy is hard. I'm not going to get it. Like, I'm not knocking that. That is very hard because it seems like nobody wants you until you're off the market.
Yes.
Right? You put a ring on it and then all of a sudden everybody wants you. When you're single, your phone is dead. It's dry. Nobody's calling you. You're getting your little text back. You're swiping right. Nobody's swiping back. But I was just, it kind of pissed me off because he reminds me a lot of my dad, because my dad was always the victim.
Yeah.
Like, even though he cheated on my mom, he cheated on his second wife, he cheated on his third wife, all of this stuff, he's always the victim somehow. He was always the one compromising. He was always the one dealing with all of those issues. And I was like, well, what about all the people that you left in the aftermath of your chaos?
Yeah.
You know, so when he was telling his story, it kind of pissed me off.
Yeah, the cheaters are always the victim.
Well, right. It's like, because I'm like, how is marriage so hard on you? Because he's like, I don't want to do it again. I was like, it kind of sounds like you had a great marriage because you were married and you also got to bang every female you met.
Yep.
You know, yeah, eventually your wife got hip and left you, but that's your fault, bro.
Yep.
Like, that's your fault. I don't know any wife who's going to be like, oh, you want to bang other women? fine. That's a Garrick Merrifield thing, right? That's a Garrick Merrifield thing. Unless you got Danielle sitting at home, that's not going to fly.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's fun.
Yeah. I don't know how any of them can do it. I don't. Yeah.
Well, the plural lifestyle, it sounds amazing. I'm a guy, so it sounds amazing, but I don't know why and how the women do it. Like, I have two questions, like, why and how. Why would you want to share the man you're with, and how would you do it? But again, going back to the why, there's so many different men in the world for women and vice versa. You don't need to share anybody. And then on top of it, we're getting off topic, but none of these guys on the show are worth sharing. Right?
Absolutely.
I'm like, especially of Garrett. All the people, right? Like, I would see if Justin Bieber wanted to plural his lifestyle, I think that there will be, he'd have to have a TV show to get, the women would be lined up for miles. I don't know where they would even have the auditions. They would need to put like an entire city just for the people who would do that. Because that man is desired by so many women. But these guys on the show, I'm just looking and I'm like, so all these women want to share you.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Right? Like, I don't know. Garrett, I'm trying to.
That guy just freaking repulses me.
Whoa, which one? Garrick?
Yeah.
He gets under my skin. I think what really bothers me about Garrick is that he makes it about religion.
Absolutely.
And it's not. That's what bothers me the most.
God, like, wants me to be with so many women. That is not what God wants. God never said
not that. Even a little bit, right? Like, and I get it. The Bible was written in an older time, so there were concubines, I think is what they called it in the Bible. So yeah, but we have to think back thousands of years ago, right? God is not, because he makes it seem like God is up in heaven and he's like worried about who Garrick is banging that night. And I'm like, there are wars happening. Yeah. There are babies being hurt. Do you really believe that God's up there worried about who you banging tonight?
Yeah.
Like, come on, bro.
Yeah.
All right, so I want to jump into Love in Paradise because we got some info on Medellin. And I'm not 100% shocked. Like, I think I said earlier, I thought that she might be an escort. No offense, Medellin, if you're hearing this. I think you're beautiful. But she could have possibly.
I literally have to look away when she's talking. Listening to her speak. It reminds me of Nicole. I can't.
You're right. You're right. She kind of doesn't talk. She calls out words.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Literally.
Yeah. It's like she calls out words. I noticed it not this week, but last week. I was like, she doesn't really talk. Every word, and it's like the tone and the loudness of her voice changes with every word. So it doesn't sound like she's having a normal conversation. Like, she'll yell one word, whisper another, yell the next, normal tone the next, and everything is just completely out there.
This is probably one of the worst seasons of Love in Paradise I have ever watched.
Really?
Usually I'm so into it. I'm rooting for the people, blah, blah, blah. There's literally no one on this season that I'm rooting for that I'm like, yeah, they're going to make it.
None of these people are meant to be together. Like, there's no way. And now we're finding out that she was, okay, so it wasn't that she was an escort. I could be completely wrong. Again, sorry. But the issue is Brian, who is her best friend's husband, said that she had one of her friends, I don't know, like, who this guy is, we haven't gotten into it yet, but he slept over her apartment, slept in the bed with her. Okay, in her defense, it's a one bedroom, but that doesn't mean that they don't have a couch. And the guy said that she was sleeping in the same bed with him, topless. Which, because I was like, okay, friend, we could be talking about a gay friend. You know, so we don't know.
I don't care if it's a gay friend, a straight friend, whatever. It can be all of that. A trans friend. It can be all of that. It's the apartment I'm paying for. It's the boobs I bought. It's the bed I bought. There should never be another person sleeping in that bed with you.
Yeah.
Period.
I agree with you. You're right. Even if it's your friend, because I've had people tell me that they had like a close friend that they thought was gay, but is actually bi. And, you know, they ended up hooking up.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
But, you know, because, you know, it's, gender is very fluid, you know, and I've heard people tell me that they were gay, but that and they're a man, but they're attracted to like a specific woman.
Yeah.
Not all women, just one specific woman that they find an attraction for. And I think that that happens a lot, you know, with people who might be gay or bi or trans. Every now and then they come across the energy of a person that they really like. And then, you know, they're...
If you're gay or bi or trans and you prefer a gender, doesn't mean you can't find other people attractive.
Well, right.
I'm straight. I'm married to a man. And I know lots and lots and lots of beautiful women. And I wouldn't hesitate to say it or tell them or any of that. But would my husband be concerned if I had a woman sleeping in my bed topless? Yeah. Right?
Well, so, yes. So. Because that's taking it to another level, yes. Right? Like when, yeah, you can have, because see, I'm not the type where if I'm dating someone, they can't have, because you know how sometimes if you're dating a woman, she doesn't want her man to have female friends and the man might not want his wife or girlfriend to have male friends. I'm not that type. Right. Like if they, because I look at it as if they find somebody that they want more than me, they should be with that person, because why would I want to be with somebody who doesn't want me?
Yep.
And I don't know why people are like, oh, well, you have a male friend or you have a female friend, you got to stop talking to them. No, I don't want that. I want them to be themselves, because once you start controlling people, that's when the relationship becomes more of a nuisance than happiness. And then they start questioning whether or not they want to give up things to be with you, or they want to stop doing things to be with you. And then that's when people start cheating on people or lying.
Right.
Like they'll say, oh yeah, I'll never talk to them again. And then they go see them and hang out with them behind your back. And then you have a whole issue.
Yeah.
Like, so I would rather people just be real and be like, look, I have a friend, it's a guy. And I'd be like, cool, let's meet him.
Yeah.
You know, like we should all hang out. Like I might feel a little more comfortable if we're all together.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely not going to tell you not to hang out with your friend that you knew before I existed.
Right.
Never going to do that.
But you're also not going to say you should sleep in the bed that I bought naked.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Hanging like, out is one thing.
You can hang out fully clothed.
Yeah.
Fully clothed, yes. Right? Like, and in a bed, that's questionable because you go watch a movie on the couch. You know, yes. Like there's no reason why you should be naked in a bed with anyone. So
absolutely.
Now I understand why Brian was very persistent about the prenup, right? Because everybody around Medellin sees her as a gold digger, like her best friend, husband sees her that way. And Luke, as much as he doesn't want to admit it, he sees her that way too. Because every time he talks about her, he's like, I'm worried she just wants money. I'm worried that she sees me as money. I'm worried that, you know, she, if I don't sign a prenup, she'll take this from me. Like he sees her in that light.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you see somebody in that light, it might be of your best interest to not marry them. Right. Like until you get to know someone and you can trust them fully. And Medellin is right with that too. She was like, you don't trust me. Why would I want to be with somebody who doesn't trust me? So I agree with that. Like if he doesn't believe that that he can love her or she can love him just for who they are, marriage is out of the question.
Well,
you know, because
he's certainly not going to land another 19-year-old now that he's broke.
No, I'm not sure how he. So the rumor is that he landed her when she was younger than that. I don't want to get too into that because these are alleged rumors, but a photo was dug up on her page in the year. You know, we can do math. We're very intelligent people. It seems as though she knew Luke before she was 19. Let's just leave it at that. So you're right. And that's why I was thinking escort, right? Because I was like, but not necessarily, you know, it's very, because Jasmine was a sugar baby, you know, not necessarily like escort. Those are not the same things. Escort will go with anybody who has $500.
Yeah.
A sugar baby is just going to deal with one guy, you know, for steady payments. So I don't want to like put her in any category. I don't know her well enough for that.
Yeah.
But I think that if he didn't have the job that he had and was flaunting the money that he did, they never would have made it this far. I believe
but
that.
Wait, did you see their new business plan?
What was the new business plan?
Oh my gosh. So they have a private jet and all kinds of things. I'll have to find it and send it to you.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of, they're your tour guide. They fly you all over the place. It costs $100,000.
I'm sorry. So does he own a private, like, okay, I have like a multitude of questions now.
I'll find
out. Does he own a private jet?
I don't know if they own it or not, but it said one of his entrepreneurial jobs that he's invested money into. Mm-hmm. Now you take a private jet with them as your tour guide. You get a fancy dinner. I can't remember everything that's in the dinner. A fancy bottle of wine. You get like 3 nights in, I don't know if it's like his townhouse, his apartment, or what, you know, what it is. But anyway, all this is included for $100,000.
I'm sorry. The math doesn't equal $100,000. I heard 3 nights. I heard a flight on a private jet. And I heard a dinner. I'm not seeing $100,000. Yeah, that's interesting. So I think that they're banking on the fact that they were TV people. So you get to do this with them. I'm assuming that's what the sell is.
Yeah.
Like, we were on Love in Paradise, so you get to fly with us, eat with us, party with us. I'm sorry, Love in Paradise isn't that big. This is not Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
Like, they could probably pull that off on Vanderpump Rules. There are people who worship those people. So
I would rather go hang out with the outdaughtered and the unexpected people than hang out with Madeline and Luke.
Right? They don't even seem fun. No offense. Offense, guys. They don't seem fun. They're not my cup of tea at all, you know? Because she said she won medals for salsa, and I'm watching her do it, and I'm like, so did nobody else try out? So were you like... Is it a participation medal? Like, I'm trying to, like, they don't look fun to me, which it doesn't take a lot to have fun with me, just a few drinks and some music, but they're not my cup of tea, and I'm definitely not gonna put $100,000 into hanging out with them anywhere in the world. Anywhere. I don't care if we're in Dubai. It's not worth $100,000. Anywhere in the world I could go for so much cheaper than $100,000, because that was the first thing that I was thinking in my mind when you were telling me, and I was like, I'm thinking of all the places that I would love to visit, and none of them equal $100,000, right? Like, so
I cannot remember where I saw it, but I will find it.
It's very ambitious, right? Like, $100,000 is a lot of money in one customer, but where does he think these customers are going to come from? Because if somebody has that type of money, they could hang out with anybody in the world. Like, say somebody wants to hang out with Justin Bieber. Let's say it costs $100,000. They would just do that, right? Like, I feel like if you're going to put a price on hanging out with people, which this might actually be the next cameo, like maybe celebrities are going to start doing that. You want to hang out with me, pay a certain amount and we can go to the club, or we can go to a bar, we can go to dinner.
Mark said it only cost him $1,500 for 10 days in Dubai, so including his airfare. So these guys are crazy.
Wait, Mark, that seems low.
It does.
$1,500 seems low. That's like $150 a day. Are you like a prostitute? How are you getting those prices? Because send me the info, because I would love to go to Dubai for like $1,500 for 10 days. Okay, so let's talk about Sean and Jackie and Aaliyah. So Jackie is Aaliyah's friend, and she was enlisted by Aaliyah to kind of grill Sean on some interesting questions about what happens after Sean dies, right? So that's kind of what we were focused on. And, you know, Sean got kind of offended, which anyone would, I think. You know, he got engaged last night, and then the next day you're being questioned. We're like, well, when you die, who gets your money? You know, that's a little soon, right? It's a little soon. And Aaliyah, at first, I thought was uncomfortable, but we found out later she wanted these questions asked, because she was like, well, I don't know about this stuff. I wouldn't know how to ask or what to ask, so I want to make sure I'm taken care of, which kind of made me feel like maybe Aaliyah might be a little bit of a gold digger. Did you get that feeling from that?
I did, but in fairness, you got to look at the big picture. He's 38 years older than her?
Yes.
So, I mean, let's
be honest. Like, this is a real conversation. You're right. This is a real conversation based on his age, because I think the normal life expectancy is 78 years old, right?
Yeah.
So that's less than 20 years from where he is. So, I mean, it's not a normal conversation in a normal age relationship, but I think in this situation, it is a question, because if Aaliyah goes to the U.S., lives in L.A. with him, and he's the sole provider for her. And he does have children. He has the people that would qualify, because they even asked about life insurance. It is an option to ask, like, hey, what if I get here and Jesus Christ, God forbid, 3 years later, you pass away. And now I've lost everything. I don't even have enough money to go back, because you were the person that was paying for everything. So I'm like, I guess that's a normal question to ask. But I think there's, what really got me was Aaliyah should be the one to ask these questions. And I feel like if you're not comfortable having a hard conversation with someone, you shouldn't even be sleeping together. You shouldn't be married. You shouldn't be engaged.
But because I think also we found out that they've never even had sex.
Well, not since the transition.
Right.
Yeah. I get that, because it's different, right? Like, I do get that. And I think it's
different. He just bought her first wigs. So, like.
Yeah. That's true. It's
nothing's, she hasn't had any surgeries. Nothing's like really changed other than her name.
She's a little more feminine. Like, remember when I was telling you a couple weeks ago, I was like, I think that the more feminine side and aspect is going to be different from him, because he was married to a woman, and he said that being married to a woman, his words, not mine, is a little more work. It takes more work to make things work great. And I think that, you know, there is a little more maintenance when you're with a woman. You have to make sure that she's taken care of, she's happy, you're making sure that you're vocal about things. Women need to
agree. Hear. But when you propose with a superstar by your side and you haven't had sex, like, none of that meets up with me. I mean,
you're right. It's a huge red flag. It's a red flag, because sex is pretty high on the priority list for a working relationship,
especially when you live in two different countries.
Yeah, and you want one person
each other for the first time in how long, and nothing.
You want her to move across the world.
He's bought her clothes. He's bought her hair. He's bought all the things he proposed, but yet doesn't have sex with her. That's a huge red flag.
This brings me into the next topic then, because we found out from Aaliyah towards the last 10 seconds of the episode that they're in an open relationship.
Yeah.
And do you think that that has something to do with why he's not having sex with Aaliyah? Maybe he's just having sex with other people? Because notice throughout the whole season, nobody ever brought up that they're in an open relationship. This was complete news to us. We're like, well, wait, who is he with? Who's the other person? They never brought that up. And I was like, he has somebody that he's with back in LA or New York, and then he's getting the sexual aspect, intimacy from another person.
Yeah.
And then he was getting emotional love from Aaliyah, and like, maybe that's what this situation is, but we just didn't know.
Yeah. I don't know. There's so many red flags in this relationship. I can't even pinpoint them all.
If we can call it a relationship, right? Like, I'm not 100% sure what it is. I called it a situationship on Twitter. Because I was like, it's more like a situationship. They're in this weird situation together. Almost like when you get on a plane and you're single and you just situationally sit next to some random person.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of how this relationship is. They're two randoms trying to make a situation work when it's not. You know, it's not going to work. Oh, so we got a little insight into Kyle, right? Because a lot of people felt like Kyle was trolling us. They were like, we feel like he knows that he's a weird creeper, and he's like trolling us. He's purposely making himself look creepier on TV as like a troll. But I think Annie explained it a little better. She was like, I think it's weird that you've never had a relationship before me. And he opened up and he said, well, I've never found a woman that wanted to be in a relationship with me. And then I realized him doing this sperm donation is making an interaction with women that he needs and craves as a man, but it's leaving the relationship and the actual emotional connection out of it, which makes a lot of sense because he doesn't have any relationship or emotional connection with Annie. He doesn't know how to do any of that stuff. So it looks like he's leaning on the sperm donation as his only interaction or kind of his only resort to being with women, which clearly is something he really, really wants to do. So I'm not saying that what he's doing, I'm about to be careful with this. I'm not saying what he's doing is okay and not wrong and not strange, but I think him orchestrating these random inseminations with women, it's not just because he's helping people. He's getting the satisfaction of being intimate with a woman, which he really wants, but he can't get into a relationship. So this is kind of his way of getting something that he wouldn't get, you know, without the relationship, if that makes sense.
Because these women are meeting him blindly, meeting face to face to get this sperm donation that he's promising, and then seeing what he is and who he looks like. And my skin is physically crawling off my body thinking about this man. He is so repulsive. Everything he does is repulsive. This guy talks and my ears start bleeding from the inside out. Like, he's so freaking gross.
Yeah.
He thought this show was going to get him women and fame and money. All it's getting is all of his backstories blasted all over social media. It is getting YouTube channels made about him. It is making women realize that this is a disgusting freaking human being. He is so gross. It's no wonder that he can't get any actual women interaction.
That was the only thing that made sense to me when he was telling his side. He's like, well, I can't find a woman who wants to be in a relationship with me. And I was like, well, I get it. You know, even, let's be real, I respect consent. I think that women need to consent and they need to be active participants in things. But even when he asked for consent, it creeped me out. And that shouldn't creep me out. That's such a great thing. A woman should feel comfortable and she should have the right to get to consent. But even Annie said, she was like, I don't want to consent to anything. I want it to happen naturally. You know, she was like, I feel like you're pre-asking, you know, organic situations happen. They just happen. So even she said it, she was like, it's just super strange to me. Like, you asking, can we kiss? Can we cuddle? Can we go into the bedroom? She was like, can I just feel that that's what I want to do? And then we make that happen, you know, because asking ahead of time, what if she's okay with it when she consented, but then she's not comfortable later on? Like, I totally understand pre-consent isn't fair because say a woman feels one way and then once you get into the bedroom, her feelings changed. It's not fair to ask for pre-consent because she's no longer consenting. She doesn't feel that, you know, because you're supposed to do it in the moment. It's not supposed to be something you ask and then an hour later, that still applies. Consent is something that happens in the moment. If you're moving to the next level, you're moving to the bed, then say, is this okay? Are you comfortable? Do you want to continue? That's fine. But asking beforehand, I feel like it's weird because what if she's okay with kissing you? She's not okay with anything else, or she kissed you and she wants to throw up now. Yeah. So like she's not consenting to anything else. She thought she wanted to. Now she's like, you know what? No, this isn't what I want. But from what I understand, they were intimate and there's a baby. There, so many people have sent me information that are saying that they were intimate and there's a baby. So I want to get your reaction. Are you shocked that
I'm sad for her.
But do you think that she wanted this? Because you remember she reached out to him because she was looking for a donor.
I feel like once she got to meet him, the feelings of wanting a baby probably changed. Because if I wanted a baby, and I love kids, I think every woman that wants to be a mom should have that opportunity, regardless of how it's conceived or anything, any of that. I think that should just be something that every woman that wants it gets to have. However, I don't care how bad I wanted a child. 1 minute with this man would make me rethink everything.
Yeah.
So I feel like she might have got stuck, literally.
Oh, so you think that because I guess he has super swimmers. Yep. You think that it was just the one time that wasn't the intention, and now she's stuck with this baby?
Yep. I think so, but I don't know.
Well, right. We don't know. Like, yeah, we're going to, as it plays out, we're going to see. But she made a weird comment on the episode. She's like, I hope I don't regret this. And I was like, well, that comment didn't age well. Right. Because we're pretty sure you do. Like, we're pretty sure you do.
We regret now you got it for with you, it. Girl.
Right, yeah. Like, well, now you're going to have to deal. But, I mean, maybe not have to deal with him forever because he is a donor. She could just look at it as, he gave me the baby. But can you imagine having his baby?
No.
What if it looks like him?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, if I went into it, like, IVF, sperm donation, all of that is wonderful. But you're also blind to your donor. I mean, you have a portfolio, you have an idea of what they look like, you know what they do, you know how smart they are, what colleges they've attended, what their blood type is, what their IQ is, you know all that. But you didn't ever have to hear their voice. And
never.
Literally 3 seconds into this man talking made me want to wish upon a hysterectomy for her. Like, all of it. I wanted to fly there and tie her tubes myself. Don't do it. It's so gross.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
It is so. It's scary to me that she was in the situation ever that this seemed like the way to proceed with a relationship. Because that's what got to me at first. I was like, maybe she's weird too. Because I was like you said, at the first meeting, she noticed stuff right away.
See, and
literally right away.
The first episode, it took me 10 seconds to find 700 women on YouTube, Instagram, all everything. A whole ass Facebook group.
Yes.
Dedicated to him, about him, from years back. Why didn't she do her research on this guy? Like,
that's interesting too. Yeah, and you're right, because there's a lot of women who have been so vocal and just Googling his name, because I know that she knows his name. She, because it's like you said, when it comes to using a donor clinic, they do all the work for you. Yep. They put everything out in front of you. But if you're not going to use that, you're not going to go in that avenue, your responsibility is to do all of the groundwork. And she didn't do any groundwork. She didn't do any groundwork. She didn't want to know who he was, what he was about, what his online persona is, how he treats women. She should, like, in my opinion, she should have reached out to some of the women that were donors.
One of the
and asked questions.
One of the videos I watched on YouTube stated that he has a neurological genetic disorder that is being passed down to these kids.
Yes.
And not saying shit about it.
He's leaving it off of the medical report. Like, there's a medical report, but he leaves it off, and the woman actually has proof that he has it, and because I guess he sent her records, and then he sent her another set of the records with it removed.
Yep.
So she literally has the actual record, and then she has an altered medical record, which is super, super scary, because
aside from all of his outer creeper tendencies that we're seeing that just make you want to hurl, there's also all of this stuff. I mean, there's just so much stuff that would make you, I don't care how bad you want a baby. You don't want a baby that you know is going to be born with all kinds of problems and all kinds of defects. That's not fair to the child, period.
So, you're right. I think you're right with this season. I think this season has been a real letdown. You know, like you said, we're not seeing one real couple, one couple that's actually going to make it, you know, like somebody that we might actually see on another season. I don't see any of that.
Nope.
And it's unfortunate because I think this season has really raised awareness to weird stuff going on. People like this stuff with Madeline and Luke and when they actually met. And then we're talking about Kyle and all these different women and all these stories and text messages and all this, and it's making me wonder, is TLC like purposely putting, what do you call it, problematic people in front of us because they know it's triggering, you know, because they keep Angela in front of us, they keep, like, I'm beginning to think that problematic is their new go-to.
Hey, but as much as I can't stand Angela, the thing about her is that she's been on for so long. She's made our skin crawl from day one, but she's grown on us. Yeah. Not in a good way. Not like hemorrhoids, I'm talking grown on.
Yeah, we know what to expect from Angela. You're right.
But we also know that there's going to be this grand explosion between Angela and Michael. Mm-hmm. We know that. And so we're waiting for that. We're anticipating that. Love in Paradise, they just threw us a whole ass dumpster fire and said, sorry, it was the bottom of the barrel. It's what we could find.
Yeah. Yeah. And then on top of it, the audacity, they'll just end it after the last episode and never even give us a tell-all. We won't even know what these people are doing. Yep. They don't even give us a rope,
yeah,
a lifeline. Oh, and so my understanding is the blow up that you were talking about is going to happen on the tell-all.
Nice.
I heard, I can't say from where, that the tell-all is going to be very explosive, because that's when, okay, so obviously Angela and Michael were broken up, but when he was present for the tell-all, they were not together.
Nice.
So she had nothing nice to say. So
she never had
nice to say. Yeah. So, but also, he didn't either. So I heard that the blow-up at the tell-all is going to be probably the craziest blow-up we've seen probably in a long time.
Because
all the emotion and, you know, Angela's been trying to go live, but she can't really say what she wants to say. I think she said what she wanted to say, and everything came out at the tell-all. So we're going to get a good picture, you know, of why they broke up, and is it true what was going on in the house? You know, what he was telling everyone, and maybe even who he's with. Because people, I keep hearing different things. I heard that he was with some people from Nigeria that are here, and they've set up like a safe haven for their people. You know, if they need help or whatever, they're going to be there. But I also heard that there's a woman that involved that he might be with. So I don't know if I don't know what's real, what's not, or it could be both, right? Maybe the woman is a part of the group of people from Nigeria that are helping him. So I'm interested in knowing, you know, did he have a plan, you know, when he came over here, did he have a plan? Because obviously 60 days, that's not really enough time for the master plan that he played out. It had to have started before he got here, right? Yeah. Like it definitely had to start beforehand. And I think we're going to get that on the tell-all, which would be nice. And then they're not from, and we know for a fact they're not on the last resort. So we know that this is the real breakup. We know that this is the real thing. They're not playing games with us just so they could pop up on another season as a surprise. You know, that's not going to happen. Real,
the last 47 tell-alls have been such a letdown. I am so ready for an explosive one with all the drama to remind me why I dedicate 90% of my life into this shit.
My, like 100% for me. Yeah. Right? Like, we definitely deserve that. I feel like all these tame, lame tell-alls and Sean not asking anybody any real questions, we deserve better, right?
Yeah,
like, absolutely. We deserve so much better. If we have to deal with 15 to 20 episodes, the other way was like 24 episodes, we have to deal with all that. I want somebody to throw something at somebody at the tell-all. I'm not saying it has to hit them. Yep. I'm not saying it has to hit the other person, but just toss it in
their
direction.
That'd be so great,
right?
Though.
Right? That's what we deserve. We've been putting so much time and effort into this. And it's like, especially you, my resident CSI, you've been finding out all the information on all these weirdos, right? Like, at least at the tell-all, can somebody confront somebody? Yeah. Please, please and thank you,
yes.
Right?
Please.
All right, so we're going to come back. That was everybody, right? Oh, yeah, because Adriano and Alex weren't on this episode, but we did see next week. He wants to have Alex go out with him and meet a woman that he's interested in having a threesome with, even though Alex has been very, very, very vocal that she's not interested in that. So he's doing that. So I'm going to go ahead and say that she should probably stop talking to him.
Yep.
Right? Like, that's like being married and then your husband brings home another woman to your house. So you're not married anymore, clearly, you know, and he's probably also in the hospital. Because I can't imagine any wife who's going to let that slide, right? He's probably also in the hospital.
That's,
or the coroner's office, depending on the type of woman he married, right?
How that would fly.
So, yeah, we're going to watch that play out. And again, like you said, none of these people are going to end up together. We already know. Well, first of all, beside the threesome thing, she can't really fathom being with a man who's not a Christian. Yeah. I think that that was another huge issue for her too, which, you know, I don't like to make religion the top priority when I meet a person. Like, I don't like it when people judge people. They're like, oh, you're not my religion. So I don't like to do that. But for her, you know, it's a main issue. Her kids have to be the same religion. Her husband has to be the same religion. And, you know, if she wants to limit herself, that's fine. Limit yourself. Then your pickings are a little slimmer. Oh, Unexpected premiered last night. I watched it. Oh my God.
I know.
Oh my God.
Love it.
We're going to have to find some time to talk about it, right? I'll text you so we can figure it out. We got to talk about it. It's so good. And we haven't even met one of the girls. But we got Jenna. Oh, and what's her name? Lily's back. But we got two new girls. And then we got an 18-year-old who's with a 16-year-old boyfriend. Oh, man. And then one of the girls' mom, she's 40, but the dad's 59. He met her when she was 18. Kara, we have so much. We have so much to talk about. So, yeah, we're going to come back on a different day. And we're going to talk about Unexpected because, damn, I wasn't ready. I put it on and I was like, I wasn't ready for this drama. They didn't warn me.
Right out of the gate, we're starting.
Right? I was like, they didn't warn me. Where were the previews? Yeah. I would have been ready. Yep. I was like, dang. Yep. Oh, what if religion was so important? Why she was someone so opposite? Yeah, I don't know. Pineapple, it makes no sense to me because my mom, like I told you, was a very religious person. And, you know, she would never in a million years try to date anyone that wasn't already a part of the cult we were a part of. Like, she was very picky. So the fact that, you know, people who put religion so high up on the priority list would be out there looking just for anybody baffles me, you know, because if it's such a requirement, you know, go to where your place of worship is and, you know, pick from what you have, you know, or, you know, venture out to other.
Stay in your own country and hope for the best.
True. You know, some countries are very, religion forward, like most of the population is all the same religion, so you could literally just pick anybody.
Yeah.
No, but in America, we get to pick. You know, we get to decide if you want to be a Christian, you want to be an atheist, you want to be a Buddhist, you can do anything you want. You know, so when we're out looking for people, we can't put religion at the top of the list because none of us are really the same. You know, but there's different levels of Christianity. You know, like we're never going to be the same level there. And I think a lot of people really need to understand religion and spirituality, it has a carrying in who a person is, but it doesn't give you a real picture of their character or who they are.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of people thinking that they're like, oh, you're not this, so you're not a good person.
Yeah.
Please stop doing that, guys. There are atheists and Buddhists who are better people than you, okay? Like, they don't believe in anything, but they treat people well. And I think that that's so important, you know? You treat people well, you don't judge people, and you don't make people feel less than for not believing the same thing as you. You know, we got to be more open to people. And I've met some amazing people who were religions I can't even remember or pronounce. I don't even know what it was. They were amazing people.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Absolutely. So we're going to come back. I don't know which day. Well, Carl, I'll text you about it. We're going to come back and talk about Unexpected. And then we'll be back next week. There's two episodes left of Happily Ever After. And then we're going to get, as far as I heard, two-part tell-all. So no three and four-part. Single Life was like seven. We're going to be doing all that. And we're going to come back and then we'll do another MILF Manor and Love in Paradise. Nobody told me how many episodes are in Love in Paradise. So I don't know how far along we are. And nobody has mentioned that to me yet. But we're getting closer. We're getting closer. So I don't know how far deep we in. But we're going to be back for that. Also, I want to thank everybody who's been streaming because yesterday we had 800 and something streams, downloads in one day. And then today we have like 700 and something. So guys, you and there's like the number of countries, there was like 30 to 40 or 50 different countries. Like, wow, I didn't even know y'all could understand me. I'm just humble.
Wait,
and
happy. DJ, who's your son-in-law's niece? We have to know.
Wait, my son-in-law's niece is on Unexpected.
We have to know. Oh, give me a name.
Wait, is it the one that's from Oregon?
Wait, there was one.
Emily?
How did I miss that?
Yeah, there was somebody in Oregon.
She was from Oregon.
Yeah. I don't remember the city, but they're from Oregon. Oh my God, it's the girl from Oregon. Is she the 18-year-old that's with the 16-year-old?
Yes.
I think that's Emily. No! You're going to have to join the chat with us. You probably can't join the podcast with us because you can't be talking about your family. But we're going to be needing some info.
Under no NDA.
Oh my God, yes, TJ, if you want to come on and talk about it, we're all for it. You know, send
Yes.
me a text. We're all for it. I love insider information. I love it. All right, guys, we're gonna wrap this up. Thank you for staying up late with us. Thank you for staying with me and streaming. Guys, I think I said this last night. I'm May 19th was the 4-year anniversary of my podcast. So thank you so much for sticking with me. It's so humbling to know that people care. You
Yeah.
know, they want to listen, and then these streaming numbers keep getting bigger and bigger. So I'm just so happy. I appreciate everybody. Thank you so much. Make sure you're following my co-host Kara. She's tagging this video. Oh, Dee Dee will be back. Hey guys, we went over the hour. That's why the live cut off, but we were at the end anyway. I just want to say thank you to everybody that was tuning in and streaming and watching. Appreciate you. Love you, Kara. Love you. We'll be back. We're going to be talking Unexpected because the show is just really good, and I want to make sure that we don't miss anything. And TJ, can't wait to hear from you too about that as well. Everybody have a wonderful night. We'll talk to you soon.